Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
I don't know how much more of this we can take. We've been here at the cross for hours now, and to see Jesus in agony hanging on the cross like this is heart-wrenching. It is painful to see Jesus gasping for every last breath on the cross. I don't know how much more we can take of this. But he uttered some more words. Did you hear him just a little while ago? It was agonizing, and he sought to muster enough strength to utter three more words. Did you hear what he said from the cross? There's a lot of commotion around here, and some people may have missed it, but I heard what he said. Did you hear what he said? He looked up to heaven and he said, "It is finished." He said, "It is finished." And I think that what he meant by that is the work that he came to do in obedience to the will of the Father has been completed. I look back to all the times that we spent with Jesus, and yes, he was very much human. We saw his humanness. We saw the joy and the laughter and the tears and the frustration and the anger, but spending time with Jesus as we did, we saw that he was no ordinary man. He was truly divine. He had a relationship with God the Father I've never seen in any other person. And I think that what he meant when he cried out, "It is finished," is that the work that the Father sent him to do has come to completion. Nobody that I can recall has ever been so obedient to the will of the Father. Oh, Jesus, the work that you came to do, I guess it's now completed on the cross. I wish there was some other way that Jesus could have fulfilled the will of the Father, but if this is how God chose to bring to fruition your will, then so be it. I know, and I hear what the people are saying here. They're scoffers, the Roman guards. They're mocking Jesus. They're making fun of him. They're mocking him, calling him the Son of God, just laughing. I know there are others who would say that he was just delusional, that he wasn't divine, but let me tell you, the time that me and the others spent with Jesus, we saw with our own eyes. I was an eyewitness to what Jesus did. He did so many miracles. There are those who say, "Oh, he was just a magician, a sorcerer." No, this was the real deal. I saw with my own eyes. I'm going to write about this. I have to, so that others may believe. I saw him do so many miracles, but there's seven in particular that come to my mind, that come to my attention, that just prove that he truly is the Son of God, that he truly is divine, that when he said, "It is finished," he's fulfilling the heavenly divine mandate of salvation for the entire world, and the miracles that he performed, I saw them with my own eyes. Let me just share seven of them with you. Oh, the very first one was in Cana. He changed water to wine. We were at a wedding. It was a celebration. The wine had run out, and Jesus changed the water to wine, and the festivities went on. And I think what Jesus was trying to portray there in that very first miracle was that he changes things from the ordinary to the extraordinary. The kingdom of God that he spoke so much about was going to transform everything. And then there was that one time that we were in Galilee, and a royal official from Capernaum came running to Jesus. I remember that day so vividly. And he said, "Jesus, my son is back home and he's ill. He's on his deathbed." Would you please come with me and heal my son? And you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, I don't need to go, but you go and your son will be made well. And when he went home, his son was restored to health. And I think that was Jesus' way of saying that when the kingdom of God comes, no longer will there be sickness or death, but we will see the miraculous signs of God at work. Oh, and then I remember we were at the pool of Bethesda. I remember this so vividly. There was a man there. He had been an invalid for 38 years. Can you believe that? 38 years he sat by the pool waiting for someone to assist him into the pool so that he might be healed. And I remember that day when Jesus walked up to him and he said, do you want to get well? And the man looked up to him and he said, yes, I want to be made whole. And I remember what Jesus said to him that day. He said, pick up your mat and walk. And you know what? This man who had been an invalid for almost four decades picked up his mat and he walked. It was a beautiful miracle. No magician, no sorcerer could do that. Jesus truly was the Son of God. Oh, and then there was that time where Jesus was ministering to the crowds. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of people there, and it was getting late, and we told Jesus, let's send them home so they can go home and eat. And Jesus said, no, you give them something to eat. And me and the other disciples looked at each other and said, Jesus, we have nothing to give them. And yet we found a little boy who had five loaves and two fish. And you know what Jesus did? He multiplied that. And he fed thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Let me tell you, only the Son of God could do such a thing. It was a beautiful day. And many believed that day. I was an eyewitness to this. I saw this with my own two eyes. Then there was that one time, me and the disciples got on the lake to head towards Capernaum. And it got dark and a storm came up very quickly. And we got nervous. And the waves were crashing against the boat. And we rowed, must have been 3 or 3.5 miles. And we were getting frightened. We thought we were going to capsize. And then we looked out and we saw, you may not believe me, but I saw it with my own eyes. We saw Jesus walking on the water towards us. And we were terrified. We were afraid. And yet Jesus got into the boat with us and we made it safely to the other side. And I think Jesus was saying that even though there's turmoil, that when the kingdom of God comes in its fullness, there will be peace and the Lord will always be with us. Oh, and then there was that one time when Jesus came across a man who had been blind since birth. Since birth. And you know what Jesus did? He took some mud and he spit in it and he made from the saliva and the dirt, he made some mud and he put it on the man's eyes. And this man who had been blind from birth, his eyes were opened and he was able to see. I tell you, I witnessed this with my own two eyes, and I believe it was another miracle of Jesus to prove that he truly was the Son of God. No magician, no sorcerer could, no wizard could do such amazing things. For even the eyes of the blind will see when they encounter Jesus. And then it was probably the most amazing miracle that we'd ever witnessed. It was just a little while ago. Jesus had a dear friend named Lazarus, and he had become very ill. And his sister said to Jesus and to us, come, please, before Lazarus dies. And Jesus, for whatever reason, delayed. He said no. And then when we got word that Lazarus had died, Jesus wept. He was very sad. He was very close to Lazarus. We made our way to Bethany. And Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. But then Jesus, he went to where Lazarus was laying in the tomb. And he looked up to heaven and he said these words to the Father. He said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you would always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of those who are standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And you know what Jesus did? He ordered that the tomb that had been covering Lazarus' dead body for 4 days be rolled away, moved away. And he stood there at the opening, and in a loud voice he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And unless you were there, you may not believe me, but I witnessed it with my own two eyes. Lazarus walked out of that tomb and he removed the bandages and the linen that was on his body, and he was alive, and Jesus embraced him. I tell you these seven miracles to show you that Jesus truly was the Son of God. He was no ordinary man. Although he was fully man, he truly was God. And so as we hear Jesus on the cross cry to the Father, "It is finished," surely in the appointed time, out of his love for humanity, he is proclaiming from the cross that the work that he has done to fulfill the Father's will is now complete. And I must, even though we don't know how all this is going to unfold, we receive this work of Jesus as a sure sign that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And through his divinity, through this perfect sacrifice, he brings salvation to me. And to you, and to the entire world.
Draw me close to you. Never let me. Close to you.
Why superhero movies are so popular? I mean, we're talking billions and billions of dollars. They're so popular because we want a hero, right? We want a hero to come in and save us and save the world. I haven't seen the new Spider-Man or the new Batman yet. I want to. They're fun to watch. We want a savior. We want someone to come and deliver us and rescue us, right? Well, the greatest Redeemer, hero, savior is Jesus. But his power, if you will, came from the Father. And the secret to his power was his sacrificial love. His love for humanity. How he laid down his life for others. If Jesus had an Instagram account, he wouldn't be posting selfies of himself. No. A lot of people like to do that. Jesus would be posting about all that he did for others. How he made the lame to walk and the blind to see. He provided food, gave people hope. He poured out his life for others. But he did it not to bring glory to himself. He did it to glorify the Father in heaven. And the ultimate act of sacrificial love that Jesus did was when he was hanging on the cross for hours upon hours, and some of his final words were, "It is finished." You see, that's the mark of a real superhero, is when you lay down your life to the point where you give your all. And Jesus is the ultimate hero. And so today, as we have every Sunday in Lent, we will partake in Holy Communion. Not for glory for ourselves. This isn't about us. This is about Jesus and his Father and him accomplishing the will of God for the glory of God and for our benefit. The Apostle Paul said to the church in Corinth, as they were worshiping, as we are worshiping this morning, he said, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so today we want to partake of Holy Communion as a way to remember what Christ has done and to receive from the Lord the salvation that we need, but also to emulate his example of giving of ourselves to others. What good is it if we receive the gift of salvation from the Lord and we do nothing with it? There are people in our community who are hurting, who are broken, who are helpless. They put on a good face, but inside they're hurting. On the outside, their home may look beautiful, but on the inside it's a disaster. And they need the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are called to be the bearers and redemption. The Apostle Paul calls us to be ministers of reconciliation. We have work to do, church. And so we take communion today to receive from the Lord what he offers us so that we then can go out into the community with Easter just a few weeks away to proclaim and live out the resurrection message of our Lord. And so we confess our sins, for we do not want to take Holy Communion unworthily. We confess our need for a Savior, and we receive the elements with great humility because Jesus laid down his life for us. As we have every week, you come and receive the elements. This section come here, row by row. This section over here, row by row. And let us receive the elements with great humility and gratefulness for what the Lord has done for us. You do not need to be a member of our church. We just ask that you're trusting in the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. So come and receive the elements if you so desire. Amen. Good. Thank you, Renee. I believe everyone has received the elements now. I don't know about you, but I have so many uncompleted projects. I start something, and it's just not complete. And maybe you're better at that than I am, but... Well... Thank you, brother. But it's amazing to me when Jesus hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished." He was of singular focus and tunnel vision and purpose. So many things sought to derail Jesus. But he knew his purpose. He knew that he came to accomplish the will of the Father. And not the disciples could thwart him, not the Pharisees could thwart him, not the Roman government, not even Satan himself, as he was tempted, could deter Jesus from staying tunnel vision and focused on accomplishing the will of the Father. Yeah. That in and of itself is remarkable. How many times did Jesus say in the Gospels, "My time is not yet come. I must be about my Father's business." He was determined and focused. He knew his life's purpose, and he stuck with it to the very end. That in and of itself is remarkable. And so when Jesus said, "It is finished," it truly was complete on the cross. And it shows us the divinity of his nature. Last week I talked about his humanity, fully human, but fully God. And so we're here today, 2,000 years later, halfway around the globe, because of the singular focus that Jesus Christ had on his mission. The bread we hold represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and eat, knowing that Christ died for you. The juice represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was spilled and broken for the sins of humanity. Take and drink, knowing that Christ died for you. And would you stand with me and let's sing the doxology together this morning. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.